This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Now over to the South Bay, where a different type of discussion will be happening this Thursday night at the Tech Museum in San Jose. The Bay Area News Group is screening a documentary as part of its latest investigation into the overprescription of drugs in California's foster care system. The state has almost 60,000 foster youth, and one of every four is given psychotropic drugs. Drugs to fix their behavior, not to help a mental illness. Drugs known to have horrible side effects. San Jose Mercury News reporter Karen DeSa spoke with many former foster children for the investigative series Drugging Our Kids. She came by our studios earlier this week to talk about what she discovered.
Even more alarming was that of those kids on meds, of all children on meds, more than half, significantly more than half, were receiving antipsychotic medications. This is not your run-of-the-mill Adderall or ADD drug. These are really powerful, mind-altering antipsychotic medications that are approved only to treat severe cases of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, some forms of autism, but those are extremely rare in children. The concern about antipsychotics in particular is that they're used for behavior management. They're used on kids who are very, very sad and depressed. And even more significantly, I'd say, used for kids who are aggressive, who are really angry about their circumstances and frustrated. And so they act out in difficult ways for their caregivers. So they're being used to essentially sedate the children.
We're going to hear from a number of the former foster youth that you were able to interview as part of this project, Drugging Our Kids, and we will put a link to it as well online. But that takes me to hear from Mark Estrada, who talks about how he felt that this was, you know, used as a restraint or a punishment, or when he wanted to talk, he would be drugged. Let's listen to the clip.
The combination of the Vyvanse and the Seroquel together made it much so a chemical restraint for me, and it was a restraint to keep me quiet as they didn't want me vocalizing my concerns and advocating for myself.
And so that's Mark Estrada from the project Drugging Our Kids. With me is the reporter on that project from the San Jose Mercury News, Karen DeSa. And so Mark was talking about, you know, basically them using these drugs to quiet him or to keep him at bay. Did you find this was common?
He came into foster care as a teenager, as, you know, almost 18. He was physically abused at home by a parent. And he went to a children's shelter. He said he was fine with the Vyvanse, which was his ADD meds that he said helped him concentrate and do better in school. But when he got to the children's shelter, they added Seroquel, which is an antipsychotic. And he said that he was pissed off and angry and frustrated because they weren't letting him see his brother. And for a lot of kids in foster care, when they're acting out, there's actually a real reason behind their behavior, and they feel that no one listens to them. And instead, they just kind of get doped.
Okay, so let's hear from another youth that was interviewed for this project, Drugging Our Kids. And her name is Rochelle Trottenberg. So let's hear what Rochelle said.
You know, it sucks when you're like 15 and putting on makeup or brushing your teeth seems like climbing a mountain. And on psychotropic drugs, sometimes that's how it felt. I just felt like my brain was disconnected from my body, and everything felt like a mental exercise to overcome those side effects.
That's the voice of Rochelle Trottenberg, one of the young people, former foster children who are featured as part of the reporting project Drugging Our Kids from the San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. And the reporter on that is Karen DeSa, who is with me here in studio. So Karen, tell me more about Rochelle and about these side effects that these youth were facing.
So Rochelle experienced many of the side effects which are quite common and quite documented, particularly with the antipsychotics. And those are rapid onset weight gain, tremors, which she still suffers from 10 years after going off the medications. Her hands shake really bad sometimes. Rochelle is someone who has been able to live through this experience and then come through it quite valiantly. She finally connected with a therapist who really helped her with her abusive past, the abuse of the foster care system, which is bouncing her from dozens of homes and group homes, and helping her to, now she has a very powerful voice. She's part of a statewide expert panel advocating for solutions in Sacramento pretty much as we speak.
And so can you just tell me kind of the structure, the clinical structure of how these meds get prescribed? Who is there in the foster child's life, and how does it work?
It's really different in for every child and in every county. Some counties have county-employed clinicians who treat the kids. Some counties, like Alameda and Contra Costa, contract with private medication clinics where literally their contract is to see a child and, if they deem appropriate, put them on medications. A lot of those appointments are brief and perfunctory. The kids are not necessarily offered alternatives to the medications. Another concerning practice is a lot of group homes have individual private contracts with their own psychiatrists. So there's a psychiatrist on contract with a group home to serve their needs. And the concern about these medications as chemical restraints is that it's in the facility's interest to keep the kids under control. I mean, we talked to one public health nurse who found a group home where the teenagers were being put to bed at 8 o'clock and diagnosed with insomnia so they could justify sleep meds. So when you have a psychiatrist working with an institution in that way, there's a lot of concern about conflict of interest.
Let's hear a clip from another youth that you featured in the reporting. Her name is Joy Mara Coleman, and let's hear from her.
I was pressured a lot to take the medication. There were times where I felt like if I didn't take the medication, I would be disappointing my therapist or I'd be disappointing my social worker, because they really advocated for me to take the medicine. They were really adamant about that. And so When I didn't take it, I kind of felt like, you know, I'm letting them down because I'm being combative. And, you know, when I did take it, I felt like I was pleasing them. But at the same time, I wasn't really, you know, acknowledging the fact that it was making me feel like crap.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. And that is the voice of Joy Mara Coleman, one of the former foster youth featured in the reporting series Drugging Our Kids from the San Jose Mercury News. The reporter is with me in studio, Karen Dessa. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So we just heard from Joy Mara Coleman. And like hearing that makes me feel like there's this special relationship between her and her social worker, that she doesn't want to disappoint her social worker. And that's why she takes all these medicines. And she even, you know, she doesn't tell her that it makes her feel like crap. What in that relationship adds to all of this, this dilemma?
I think the first thing is when a doctor tells you this is going to make you feel better, and you're really depressed and you're really angry, and you think, I want to feel better. Joy Mara didn't know to be suspicious. And if you don't have your social worker on your side, who do you trust? That's the person who is placing you in supposedly a safe and lasting home.
And lastly, what do you want people to take away from this reporting?
I think that there are lessons in this reporting for everyone in society, because I think that these young people are kind of the bellwether. We as a society are increasingly subject to the marketing whims of the pharmaceutical industry. And I think if any of us with children in elementary school were to find out how many kids were on ADD meds, for instance, how many of us as middle-aged women maybe were quick to get a prescription for an antidepressant versus some other type of non-pharmaceutical intervention. I think that we all have the potential to encounter an excessive use of psychiatric meds, and I think that we need to all pay attention to this.